and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Married to the Collection right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, the weekly podcast. I'm laughing at my dogs. The weekly podcast where my wife Carrie and I sit down and have a civil conversation about what it's like to be married to me. Welcome to the show. Hi, babe.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
We have taken some steps this week. Hopefully this will be the last podcast where we are using a condenser mic and basically yelling. I hope.
You yell.
Yes, I yell. Yes. So hopefully the audio quality on all the Toy World Order podcasts will go up this week. There's a couple more things we need to get a hold of, but thanks to a good friend of ours, we managed to procure a couple of soundboards, and we'll be able to actually mix and use real microphones and have mic stands. We're getting professional quality here, people. Pro quality. For spending just a little bit of money. So, that's a plus to look forward to. I tweeted earlier this week that I had a very interesting, scary story for the listeners out there. And before we get into our normal conversation on toys, which we actually do have a little bit to talk about, earlier this week, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I believe it was Tuesday. I had talked to you at about 1:30 in the afternoon. And you said, I'm going to lunch. I'll be back soon. Okay. Around that time while you're at lunch, I get a phone call from a phone number I don't recognize on my cell phone, which at work sits on my desk because that's my podcast player, my MP3 player that's, you know, runs all my music and everything. So it sits on my desk next to me. My headphones are plugged in it. So when it rings, you know, I can tell because I can see it, you know, see the screen change. I let it go to voicemail, so I was like, okay, well, I better answer this. I'm going to see who it is, because usually numbers I don't know don't usually leave me a voicemail. So I pick up the phone, I call my phone, you know, go to the voicemail mailbox, and listen. And it's, hi, this is such and such from Verizon. We were just calling to let you know that someone found your wife's phone in a bush. Here's his number. If you could call him back, he'd like to return the phone. Now, at this point in my in listening, I didn't hear the phone number because all I thought was, what do you mean found my wife's phone in a bush?
Now, you should clarify. Like, when I go to lunch, the first thing I do when I go to lunch
is walk the dogs.
I work from home, right. So I walk the dogs around the block.
Yes.
And then sometimes I run. So obviously, you thought, okay, well, I know she went out.
Yes.
So you started freaking out.
I was sweating bullets. I'm like, oh my God, someone took her.
I wish.
So I call, really. I listen to the voice again. You wish, yeah. I listen to the voicemail again. I jot the number down. I look at it for a minute and go, well, that's weird. Where is that area code? And I Googled it, and it turns out it was in
Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington. Thank you. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't mean anything. BC Direct is still rocking a 217 phone number, and he's lived in LA for like 5.5 years. So that's not a big thing in today's cell phone industry. It happens. I'm like, okay, well, I'll call it and find out. So I call the number. Well, before I called the number, I called your phone.
Right.
Thinking,
I don't take my phone with me when I walk the dogs because I have nowhere to put it.
Right. So I call your phone. It rings and rings and rings. Goes to voicemail. I'm thinking, oh, God. What has happened to her? So I call this gentleman. I'm like, hey, you called Verizon. They said that you found my wife's phone in a bush? And he's like, yeah. And we got to talking. And I'm like, where did you find it at? And he's like, oh, the corner of 14th and Martin, or the 19th and Martin Luther King. And I'm thinking, okay, we have a Martin Luther King. It's pretty close to 19th Street. You know, it runs parallel to it. Okay, what the hell? I'm like, in Springfield, Illinois? And he's like, no, Seattle, Washington. I'm like, okay, wait, what? I'm like, you found a phone in a bush and you're in Seattle? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, that can't be my wife's phone. I'm like, I just talked to her like less than an hour ago. There's no way she traveled from Springfield to Seattle in under an hour. He's like, well, I could see that. And I'm like, how did they, you know, how did you let Verizon know that, how did they let you know whose phone this is? And he's like, well, they didn't. They asked for the number on the back of the phone, and that's how I'm guessing they decided it was your wife's. I'm like, okay, what's the number? And he reads it to me, and one of the last four digits he said was an 8. Turns out that 8 is a B. So I called Verizon, our Verizon. I'm like, okay, give me both numbers. He's like, well, I can't tell if it's an 8 or a B. I'm like, oh, my God. I called Verizon. I'm like, hey, can you, you know, he looked up the, you know, he looked up the file. And he goes, I can see somebody calling her phone. Yes, somebody found it. I'm like, I don't think that's my wife's phone because this is the number he gave you. And then this is the number that's probably actually on the back of the phone. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, those are different phones. I'm like, well, can you tell me this? Is the owner of that other phone close? I'm like, I know you can't tell me who it is, but can you tell me, are they at least closer to Seattle than we are? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's much closer. So about that time, I get off the phone and look, and you had signed back on from lunch. And I called you and told you the story, and I was near tears. I had freaked the hell out. And you were like, well, now you know how I feel a couple weeks ago when you went to Dave's, and I called and called and called, and you never once answered your phone. I text, you never answered, none of that. He's like, now you know how I feel. I'm like, but they didn't find your phone in a bush. I thought for sure some scary man had offered you candy and pulled you in a windowless van and drove off with you and left the dogs on the side of the road and then tossed your phone out somewhere. I was scared beyond all belief.
Well, and I don't blame you. When somebody says somebody found your wife's phone in a bush...
That was the kicker.
And you know that I go outside on my lunch, and the fact that you couldn't get me to answer my phone, those three things, I could see.
I was having panic attacks. I was moments away from getting into my truck and coming home. Moments away and trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah. I'm alive.
Thank God. Well, she wishes she were dead sometimes.
No.
The animals drive her a little bonkers during the day. We had a nice little late lunch with Dave Draper and his girlfriend, Cherry, yesterday. On Saturday, we got to enjoy a number of hours in Olive Garden with the two of them. And I have plenty of stuff to talk about on Dave and Duvall's this week, which we won't get into. But it was nice. We've been wanting to get together with them every time she's been down. And this was the first time that they've had time that we could actually all come together and hang out. And, you know, you got to meet Cherry for the first time, and everyone got along, and everything was fun. It was a good time. But, man, do I have a story for David Duvall's this week. Oh, God, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, Dave is going to blush. It is going to be wonderful. Last week, there was an online auction that took place in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, I'm pretty sure. And it was one that we'd been watching for a while. We learned about it, 2.5 months ago. And the auction just happened last Sunday. So they had planned and planned and planned for this auction. But most of the auction was these old 60s and 70s, like not quite major market release board games. They were all these small companies, Mayfair and a lot of other companies that were releasing these games. And in there was a Ghostbusters role-playing game, which was really cool, and an ElfQuest board game, which I was like, oh, kind of like to have those two. And we had looked a couple of times online at the Ghostbusters, and we were all, you know, it was always going for like $45-$50 on eBay, and it's like, I really don't want to pay over $20 for it. I know it's an old game, but, you know, if I could get a deal on it, then great. So I watched that auction last week while we were sitting on the couch last Sunday after we recorded, and watched and watched and watched and watched and watched. And the Ghostbusters game came up, and I bid $20, and it went to $22.50, and I'm like, I'm not going over $20. I'm like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm like, as much as I could probably win this auction for under $25, I'm like, I got to think about shipping, and they're going to charge 18% in, you know, a buyer's fee online and whatnot. So I sat around a while longer. The ElfQuest game came up, and I finally, you know, somebody bid on it. I bid on it. Somebody else bid on it. I bid on it again. It went up to $20, and it stopped. And I'm like, oh. And my little program that does the bidding on there was like, do-do-do. And I was like, oh, I won it. Neat. So I watched the rest of the auction. At the end, it was like, okay, I'm done. You were watching TV.
Which means that I was not paying attention to you.
Yes. Which was not my intention.
Uh-huh.
My intention was I closed the laptop and started watching TV. And I'm like, well, the auction's done. I won the ElfQuest game. When they charge the card, let me know, and I'll give you the money for it. Because that auction site is set up through your card.
Right.
So I was like, let me know when they charge the card, and I'll pay for it. I'm like, I have no problem paying for it. I have money. I'll pay for it. But just let me know when it charges. And you went, uh-huh. I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, all right, well, she heard me. Cool.
But I didn't hear you.
No, no, not at all. Because on Friday, after I had just told you through our instant messaging system at work, hey, I'm going to lunch. I'll see you in an hour. Yeah. Okay. No sooner do I get out to the car to eat my salad, because I usually go out and eat my salad in the car, so I can like listen to the radio or whatnot and just relax. My phone rings, and it's you. I'm like, oh, okay, what's wrong? I pick up the phone. I'm like, hi. Carrie's like, hello. I'm like, what's up? And you're like, did you win something at that auction on Sunday? Yeah, I did. You didn't tell me that. No, I'm pretty sure I did. You were sitting right there. No, I don't think you did. It's not a big deal, but you didn't tell me. I'm like, I did, and I explained that exact story. I just told you, the audience, and Carrie said exactly what she just said. Oh.
When I say, uh-huh, that's like, I'm not listening.
Yes.
I was probably trying to watch Big Brother or something, and my uh-huh was trying to get you to be quiet. So, I obviously did not hear you.
I was like, okay, well, you know, you're like, it's not a big deal. I was just looking at our bank statement and saw this $20, you know, this $23.60 charge to Anchorage, Alaska. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I told you Sunday, let me know when they charge for everything, including shipping, and I'll give you the money for it. And you're like, well, she dropped off a package on the front porch today, so I'm guessing that's what that was. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, not a big deal. And we had a conversation to where you basically were like, I thought that after we went on this trip and we just spent $300, you were done for a while. And I'm like, but, you know, we knew ahead of time, you knew 2 months ago, that I was probably going to try to bid on those two games and maybe try to win one or both for cheap. And, you know, you said, can you just make me a promise? Can you not buy anything for a month? Just 30 days. That's all I'm asking for. I said, okay, sure. And I bring that story up because you would be proud of me today, because I had been watching an auction, because it's been very well documented on both of the shows that we do on the site that I was very upset over the estate sale, and I wanted one of those GoBot thruster bases, the evil GoBot base, and couldn't get one out of the guy. And there was one that came up on
eBay. Are you going to make me feel bad?
No, because there'll be another opportunity. But up into the last minute and a half, I was watching it and was going to bid on it. And I was like, I can't. I'm like, I can't do it. I told Carrie I wouldn't buy anything for a month. I can't buy anything for a month. I cannot do it.
I would like it if you wouldn't buy anything ever again. Yeah, I was like,
she will get pissed at me.
Right, and it's not.
I will get yelled at. I don't want to get yelled at. I'm like, we're going to have to spend money on microphones and cables. I don't want to get yelled at for buying a toy.
Well, it's not about the money. I wasn't mad that you bought that game because of the money, or I just am like, please stop bringing stuff into this house.
Yes.
You have too much stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, please, just for 30 days. I was like, seriously, I'm on my knees begging you, please, please do not buy anything for, I'm asking for 1 month. Please.
So I basically did not bid on it and went, I can't do it. And, you know, it ended, and I was like, well, whatever, you know, I'll have another opportunity somewhere down the road, and we'll see what happens. I have a dog in my lap licking my nose. Mm-hmm. But no, I thought, you know, you would be very proud of me that I took that seriously, and
I'm not proud of you because...
Why?
Because I asked you not to do it, and you didn't do it, so you did what I asked you.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm not proud of you.
Well, you know how sometimes I bend and break the rules anyway, so, I mean, you know. I just thought maybe you'd be happy and proud that for once I actually listened to you.
Oh.
Oh. Don't shake your head at me, woman. But it's been an interesting week in the DeWall household. There's been lots of...
A lot of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
A lot of younger dog scared of the thunder issues.
Oh, poor puppy dog.
And... Because I'm the one that's home during the day. I'm trying to comfort him and work and... Yeah.
Him's just a scared puppy. It was a
stressful week.
Aw. Mm-hmm. Him's just a scared little puppy dog. Our good friends at Connect sent me a bunch of stuff the other day, which is tremendous. Last week, actually. And I'm not a big Connect collector, so I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with this stuff once it's all reviewed, because I don't collect Legos. I don't collect Connects.
My nephews might play with it.
Yeah, probably. And that's not a bad thing against Connects, and I'm sure people are going to be like, why are you reviewing it? Well, you know, they asked me to review it, and I told them, absolutely. You know, I will review it just like I review anything else that I've ever reviewed.
Right.
And the only reason that happened is because I reviewed a bunch of Mario Kart figures that they brought out separately, and I reviewed the whole first set of those. And they emailed me, loved it so much, they were like, can we send you Angry Birds stuff when it comes out? And yeah, sure, you know.
Well, and it makes more sense. Let's give it to somebody that's going to play with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And enjoy it. Otherwise, it's just going to sit. You're going to review it and put it back in the box.
And it's just going to sit there. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got all of the sets that have come out for Angry Birds, and I've got a big Mario Kart set that I'm not sure if I'm going to give up yet, because I have to wait and put it together and see. I don't have any room for it, but it's kind of cool, and it comes with the Donkey Kong figure that I really want. So I was like, ah, oh, what am I going to do with this? But it was kind of neat. I mean, that's, you know, we've had companies send us some stuff to review in the past, and it's just nice that, you know, in the past we've had to ask companies for review samples, and now companies are coming to us, which is really cool to me. I think, you know, I look back on everything I've done over the years with toys and reviews, and I think it's really cool now that, you know, we can do a review like that, that I just reviewed just for the heck of it, because, you know, the toys were inexpensive. It was something cool. It was something no one else had really reviewed yet, and I thought, why not, you know? And it's cool. It's neat to see how those kind of things can open doors and people start contacting you. I got another email from the people at Zag Toys who do the Grab Zags, which you wouldn't recognize. But I did a review for them a long time ago, and then they're finally trying to get a hold of me going, hey, you know, can we talk? And it's like, yeah, cool, you know. Although it's strange because it seems we came so late in the game on the site that it's almost like everyone and their brother is now opening a toy video review site, which on one hand is neat. You know, I'm glad other people are finding their voices and are doing, you know, and are doing what they love and are trying their hand at doing those type of reviews rather than written reviews. But it's like, there's so many more sites out there now doing it that it's like, oh my gosh, you know, everyone's going to be, you know, it's going to become like the toy news thing where everyone's fighting everyone else for the same bit of news. And eventually everyone's reviews are going to pretty much be, with the way a lot of us think, they're all pretty much going to say the same exact things. And that sucks. I mean, I'm not jealous of people, but that kind of sucks to know eventually that's where it's going to lead. But I don't know. What do? You're very quiet over there.
I don't have anything to say to that.
We might have something to say to this. We talked about our, well, not our, but Dave and I's bad review last week. And a lot of people on the site really kind of, you know, told me, hey, you know,
pretty much probably just what I said.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it. I mean, do what you do and don't worry about it.
Yeah. You know, Star Joe Chuck, I think, said the best thing is, you know, try not to worry about one red review. Keep doing what you're doing and be true to yourself. We listen and tune in because you're honest and entertaining. I like the fact that you show your emotions, and we can share in your excitement and disappointment. Collecting toys can bring out emotions. When you find a great deal at a flea market or yard sales, or when you lose an auction to someone who bids more than you're willing to pay. But that's the way it is. It's real. Please don't let it get you down too much and keep doing what you're doing. And to me, that's cool. I'm glad. And also, I've seen the fans, a number of other fans have gone on and left their reviews on iTunes and gave us 5 stars. And, you know, that's pretty cool to me. I'm glad the fans are kind of turning out and, you know, making sure that the program is known and people, other people find it and enjoy it.
Right.
So that's the fun thing for me. We're getting ready to go into September, which our vacations are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And what will we be doing on those vacations?
Nothing.
No? I think there's something we'll be doing.
I'm not doing nothing.
No?
No.
Not at all, huh?
No, I'm not doing nothing.
What,
You can redo your man cave.
Oh, I see, I see.
That's all your mess. I'm not going to spend my 7 days off helping you rearrange your stupid toys that are taking up my whole basement.
I see, I see. Well, that's sad because, you know.
What? Why?
Well, I just figured that I'd do my room and then turn the part of the laundry room into your workout area.
Do you really think you're going to get your entire basement redone? And you don't even get an entire week's vacation because you used a lot of your days already.
Well, I have to work a day in 4 hours.
So you get 3 days off,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Plus the 3-day weekend before that. Because there's a holiday that we're
I
off.
Know. So you'll get Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because right. Monday's the holiday.
Right.
Then I'm assuming you'll work Tuesday.
And 4 hours on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh.
I do not think that you're going to get the entire basement done in that amount of time. Because, forget, we have other things going on, such as animals that need to be fed and walked. And you're not going to hold yourself up downstairs the entire vacation and make me deal with all the crazy people that live here.
I see. You could come down to the basement with the crazy people, and then we could just hole up together.
What? So you can tell me, that's not how that toy's supposed to be posed.
No, I just need
That's help. Not where that goes. That's not a Transformer. That's a GoBot.
God. You make me sound like the Hitler of toys. Dear Lord. It's like I'm running the Gestapo or something down there.
Well, I don't think you're going to get it all done. So,
well, I'll get a good portion of it done. I mean, a good chunk of it. I at least want to get new shelves up and everything, and that's not going to take any time other than putting the hardware up and putting the shelves up.
Okay.
I mean, you know, but I need help. It's either you or I make Dave come over here and help me. Well,
he's got to come over and record a podcast anyways.
I don't think Dave really wants to come over and sweat in my basement by helping me put up shelves
for... It's not sweaty down there. It's cold down there. It feels good down there.
That's true, but Dave sweats under any environment.
Yeah.
So, it happens. It can be nice in here, and we'll get done, and Dave's just a pile of sweat. I'm like, my God, what happened to you, man? He's like, it's hot. I'm like, it's not hot. It's fine. I have a dog rubbing against my foot.
Yeah, I can see him.
It's very interesting and very odd. Mm-hmm. He seems to be enjoying it. As long as he doesn't rub his junk on my foot, we're okay with this. Yes, good doggy, good doggy. I don't know. I don't think I'll get everything set back up, but I'll at least get a good portion of it knocked out and done.
Well, good luck.
Oh, thanks. Thanks
I'll
for your support.
I'll bring down some, you know, food and drink for you occasionally, but you're not going to be down there the whole time.
Thanks for your support.
No, I'll help you, God.
I just guilt trip you into that?
No, I was just kidding.
You sound so...
Well, I want to help because I spend a lot of time down there, so I want, you know, even though it's your stuff, I would like a little bit of say in, like, what you're going
to
do.
Well, you got to be down there to tell me what to do with all your cute stuff.
That's not my stuff. That's your stuff.
But I'm pretty sure
I helped you buy it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's your stuff. I don't care what you do with it. Just make sure I still have room to exercise.
We already told you what we're going to do for your exercise.
Okay, you got to get one room done first.
I
know you're wanting to redo the laundry room and turn it into my workout room, which is a great idea, but one room at a time.
Right.
So.
I got you. We'll get it all squared away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it.
I want to relax on my vacation. This will be the first time that we've taken a vacation and not had to go somewhere and I'm actually looking forward to it.
Right.
Just chill out, relax.
Yeah, because every time we go on vacation, it's never relaxing.
It's not. It was just sad.
I know.
It should be.
We're always on the go.
We have fun, but yeah, we get back from vacation, we're like, oh my God, we need a couple days to relax.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about going, you know, this vacation we're taking in April won't be much of a vacation because it's going to be a lot of...
Well, and it's not going to be a vacation because we're not going to be gone for a week.
No.
Maybe 3-4 days tops.
Right. I mean, it'll be a lot of, you know, a lot of wedding stuff for Brandon and, you know, the rehearsal dinner and the rehearsal and Disneyland, the bachelor party, Disneyland.
I heard you the first time.
Oh, okay, just making sure. Just make sure you were following me there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking more like, you know, you talked about wanting to go to Disney World again next year.
Possibly.
And I think this next time we go, we need to just maybe take it easier and not worry about, because we've done everything.
Always, I know. Well, no, there'll be some new stuff. But well, there will be. We always feel like we have to, like, make sure we do everything.
Yeah, we do.
It's rush, rush, rush. It is. We want to make sure we can do and see everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where maybe we just need to, like, sit down and people watch for a while and...
Just breathe.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay, now the next thing starts at 4, so we got to get going. Or, exactly. You know, yeah.
Because it's always like, we're always constantly on the move when we go there. Always. Without it, you know, without mm-hmm. fail, it's always go, 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 mm-hmm. go, go. You know, we're always racing from one side of the park to the other. A perfect example is that the story we told at Disneyland. When you fell, we uh-huh. were boom, 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 go, 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 uh-huh. go. We've never really got to enjoy the parks.
Well,
we enjoyed it, but we never got to actually, like...
Just kind of stroll and look around and take yes. in everything, yeah.
I mean, we do like, when we go to Epcot, because when we go to World Showcase, we're not rush, rush, rush. We're just, like, easy going, walk in and out of the shops, look at all the different, you know, different countries. But it's, like, the Magic Kingdom and MGM, Hollywood Studios mm-hmm. now, and...
Well, it's like, if you want to ride, you know, everything, you kind of have to, like... I mean, we utilize the fast passes when we can, but yeah. a lot of time it's like, okay, we got to think, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to ride this ride, and then we have a fast pass for this other ride,
right.
and then we want to come back here. So it's like, you know, we want to do everything.
Yeah. I don't think anything will beat our honeymoon when we went, because at one point we were on Splash Mountain, and we got through, and when we got back up, there was like nobody waiting in line, and the operator was like, guys want to go again? And we were like, yeah. And that was kind of neat.
I think it's because the fireworks were going on.
And
we'd seen them the night before.
Yes.
So we didn't care to see
them. Yeah,
it again,
we were like, we've seen them. Yeah. It's not like when we went to, I think the only time we've ever watched the fireworks more than once is when you and I went to California for the very first time. We went to Disneyland for the first time mm-hmm. together. It was Disneyland's 50th anniversary. They had the most amazing fireworks show that I've ever seen in the Disney park that just basically, you know, took you from one corner of the park to the other in music and sound effects and special effects and fireworks. And that's the only fireworks show that I remember that we've actually physically gone and been like, we have to go watch the fireworks again. And we did that, I think, like 2 nights in a row. And that was a lot of fun. I think the only fireworks show we've never actually watched is Epcot's. We've seen bits and pieces of it. We've never actually seen that whole show. That's the only thing I don't think I've ever seen at the parks is Epcot's fireworks show. I don't know if it's still Tapestry of Nations or what it is now, but never watched it. One time we were in Epcot that late, we had a dinner. It was a royal princess dinner where you could meet all the princesses.
Weird. I wonder whose idea that was.
Probably mine. But when we walked out of there after eating, which that was an interesting tale because it was in, I don't remember if it was in Germany or if it was Sweden or something. It was some weird restaurant, and the food was okay, but then the desserts came, and it was like, what is this? I think you had one that was some weird, like, chocolate pineapple or some crazy thing, and you were like, this is not good. This is not good at all. Like, this is kind of disgusting.
Well, not to, like, diss Disney, but they're not, I mean, we couldn't afford, obviously, to eat in, like, the good places, but,
right.
like... I don't think we've ever eaten somewhere there other than the snow cones.
Yes.
And thought, like, oh, this is the best food ever. You know what I mean? Like, they're not known for...
No, not at all.
...for good food.
Unless you eat yakigori and you're like, oh...
Yeah, the snow cones. But otherwise, everywhere else we've eaten, it's just regular food. I mean...
Pretty much. Same crap we eat everywhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the only... I think that night we stopped, watched it for a few minutes, and we were like, let's go. We're like, let's go ride Test Track again. And off we went to ride the fast cars. Those are always fun, though. I think those are my favorite vacations we've ever taken.
Disney ones?
Yeah.
And that's why I suggested we go next year, because it seems like everywhere else we've gone, not turned out that great.
Well, okay. Vegas.
We have fun. We always have fun, but... But yeah, I just think when we go to Disney, we just always have more fun for some reason.
Vegas, we took a trip to Vegas... And that was the trip where we realized, much like everyone else that goes to Vegas, that the hotels are not as close as you think they are. You're like, oh, look, Mandalay Bay is right there. No, 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 it's 5 blocks away. Mm-hmm. You're going to pass 2 other hotels before you even get to it.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Or we went into Caesar's Palace, the stores, and got lost because we couldn't figure out how the hell to get out. We were like, where the hell's the exit? Where are we? How do we get out of here? So that was kind of bad. There was lots of us walking and
a lot of walking. Now, and that wasn't a trip that we had like picked to go on. Your undad,
my undad, yes,
invited us, and he actually paid for it. So
yeah, he paid for the tickets.
I mean, that would have been a place that I would have liked to have gone at some point in our life, but
right.
We don't gamble.
No.
I mean, I think we spent like $25 gambling, maybe 30 or 40.
We won like 10 bucks or something like that.
We're not gamblers, no. So we just walked in and out of the hotels. I mean,
pretty much. You know,
we saw Lance Burton, I think.
Saw Lance Burton, saw tickets. World's Greatest Magic, yeah. Saw... For
Jonathan.
Free. Yes, the Amazing Jonathan.
Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah, we had to go to a timeshare for 3 hours to get those free tickets. That was fun. That was interesting. That was very interesting because they sit you down in like this classroom setting and they talk about the advantages of all these rooms and stuff. And we're looking at each other like, we just want the damn tickets.
Well, and we had gone in ahead of time and I had told you, do not get this guy talking.
Yes.
As soon as he starts telling us, we're just going to tell him we're not interested. We're going to get our tickets and we're going to get out.
How many people do they bring to our table to try to convince us?
Oh, I don't know.
It was
like,
a number.
No thanks. No thanks.
It was like four of them, and they were pissed they had to give us those tickets.
Well, I'm sure it happened. I mean, that's why most people go. I'm sure, like, out of an entire day, the percentage of people that actually get the timeshare, because it's expensive.
Oh, it is.
I mean, it's probably, like, 1%.
Yeah.
Everyone else just wants the free tickets.
Yep.
So.
That's how we ended up going to see The Amazing Jonathan for free. Good seats, too.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Not somewhere, I don't...
And I got a t-shirt signed by him, which is framed downstairs, which is kind of cool.
But yeah, that trip wasn't that great either. I mean, it was okay.
Well, that was also the trip where we realized that you could take alcohol on the street. Because we had to
I mean, the casinos are wide open, so people just walk in and out.
We were like, well, that was new for us. We're like, really? You just take this outside? This is awesome. That was kind of fun. Carrie had this large, long, almost like a strawberry daiquiri, but it was in this huge cup.
I think it was, yeah.
She had two of them at one point because we had to buy one for somebody else, and she looked like a lush. Like, she was walking around with these two strawberry daiquiris. I kind of have a picture of it somewhere. She's just like, woohoo! Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one was bad. Trying to think what other... Our first Chicago trip we took was horrible, where we stayed in this tiny, tiny, tiny,
hotel. That wasn't for like a con or anything.
No.
It was just to go to Chicago and we stayed for like a weekend. And
yeah. It was awful.
It was cold and we couldn't really... We wanted to walk up and down the Magnificent Mile in the stores. And we did, but it was freezing. I think it was like January.
Yeah, it was a bad idea on our part.
The hotel was terrible. You had to close the bathroom door in order to sit on the toilet.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. You couldn't
sit on
the...
You had to open the door, walk in, shut the door so you could sit down.
Yeah, you couldn't sit on the toilet if the door was open. You could not do it.
Oh,
I mean, you could if you wanted to, but you'd be like straddling the door. It was very, very horrible. I don't know. This last time we went to California was good. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that we didn't normally do. Like, we don't normally do when we go places like that. But
well, that was my decision. I was like, okay, we've been to California once, and
that was more your trip. I was like, whatever you want to do, I just want to go to Disney.
Yeah, and I was like, I want to do some new stuff.
Right.
So we did.
We did. We went shopping and went up and down Hollywood Boulevard more than we did the last time we were there. Mm-hmm. We went into a lot more shops and walked and whale watching.
Yep. Went
we didn't see
beach.
Any whales. Saw dolphins, no whales.
Went to the beach.
Went to the beach. I almost died. The wave tried to suck me under. Tried to kill me.
Yeah, it did.
That was fun, though. We went to one beach that wasn't great.
That was Santa Monica Beach.
Yep.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Very dirty.
Nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting.
I was very disappointed just because, you know, I thought Santa Monica, and then it's had, like, the promenade or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. The pier. Santa Monica Pier. I was so excited. We got there, and I was like, this is awful.
Yes, it was pretty bad. And we got there early, too. We're like, we'll get there early. We'll get a good parking spot. I think we got there at, like, 8 o'clock.
And there was, like, two people there.
Yeah.
It was kind of cold that morning, but it... So we went into, like, all the shops and stuff.
Right.
And
went walking.
And the sun eventually came out, and it got warmer, but it was just... The beach had trash. It was just trash everywhere.
It was trash. And by the time we got back to the beach, there were thousands of people on the
beach.
Oh,
so busy. And it was bad. I was like, we didn't even... like actually like sit on the beach or anything. Like we were like, I think I put my feet in the water and I was like, let's go.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm like, let's go.
Well, then a couple days later, we ventured to a different beach. Do you remember what beach that was?
Oh, no. But I loved it.
There was no one there, hardly.
No.
The beach was wide open. It was clean. Yes.
It was really nice.
I can't think of what it was. It was the first time we had ventured out into the ocean, the both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for shells. We're like, ooh, but the waves were so big.
Yeah,
that day.
You couldn't actually like swim in the water. Like,
so it was more fun for us to run from the waves. We're like, ay!
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah.
But there was one occasion where you were up on the beach and I was in the water looking for shells.
We were trying to find sand dollars.
Yes, we're trying to find, because we found a sand dollar and part of another one. Like, well, let's see if we can find some more.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, thought I found one and went down to reach it and happened to look over my shoulder just as this ginormous wave crashes down on me, washes me up the beach. I'm like, oh! And I hear her go, what happened? I'm like, it almost killed me. I'm like flipped upside down on my back.
Newport Beach. That's where it was.
Newport Beach, yes.
Yes, that was a nice beach.
That was a very interesting occurrence. I'm like, never swallowed that much salt water. Boy, was that disgusting. That was very interesting for me. Of like, that ocean almost killed me. No wonder people are scared to go in the ocean.
The waves were really bad.
Yeah, they were bad.
And I don't know if they're always like that at that beach, or if it was just that particular day. I don't really know how the, I mean, I don't know how the ocean works, because, you know, we don't live by one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Might have just been that day. It was very, the waves were very high, very choppy.
Yeah.
And at some point, like, you're standing, like, I had a lot of fun standing in the beach and then getting as far down as I could for the waves and let it wash the sand around my legs to where you were like almost up to your knees in sand. That was fun. But after a while, your legs start to hurt because you're like, wow, the salt in this water and the sand is starting to burn a little bit.
Yeah, well, it becomes like almost starts exfoliating you. Your skin, you know, it starts to hurt.
Yeah, you're like, wow, this is like sandpaper on my legs. Yeah. This is horrible. But it was a lot of fun, though. We saw a mother and her little daughter. And the little daughter really wanted to go home, and the mother did not. And there was lots of cursing at this little girl, and she like was throwing under a shower. And Carrie and I were like, "Oh my god!" We're like, "These people are amazing." But it was fun. It was a lot of fun, you know.
But again, it was go go go.
It was.
I had packed way too many things into our vacation. Because there was so much I wanted to, you know, we don't get to go on vacation that, you know, once a year, and I wanted to do as much as we could, and it was too much.
Yeah, it was a little much.
It was exhausting. I mean, we were up every morning
at like 7:30.
Except for the day at the beach, we had like cut our day short at like 5, and
right.
We went back to our hotel and to chill for the rest of the night. But normally we'd be up at 7 and not get back until like 9 or 10 at night.
Right.
So.
Well, we went back to the hotel and realized how horribly burned I was.
Yeah.
Because the suntan lotion we had didn't work very well.
It must have been old.
Must have been. I was very splotchy.
Yeah.
And very burned. And at one point I was like, I got to go down to the Walmart and get some aloe vera. I'm like, I hurt. I'm like, I need to do something. And drove down there in pain. And it was not a lot of go, go, go. But I mean, usually our trips they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about California, and every time we go there, is we always manage to find a new toy store, which always fascinates me. First time we went, we found a toy store. We stayed in Anaheim, which we stayed in Anaheim this time too, but we stayed on a different part of Anaheim. Last time we stayed on Harbor Boulevard in a Motel 8, which sounds, you know, kind of disgusting and cheap, but it was cheap. And
we don't care. We always stay in cheap motels.
Yeah,
because again, I just said we get up at 7 and we're not back till 9, so we don't need a fancy hotel.
Right. The only time we ever spend money on a hotel is at Disney World, because we usually stay on site.
Right. Right.
Because we usually stay within the park, because it's so much easier to get around. You don't have to rent a car.
Yeah.
They pick you up and take you to the airport. You know, I mean, you don't have to worry about that. But yeah, usually when we go, we'll rent a car and stay at, you know, the least expensive hotel we can.
Right.
That is clean.
Right.
And his Motel 8 was just, you know, was like 2 blocks away from Disneyland.
It was a Super 8.
It was a Super 8.
Yeah.
And we drove one day to this little, it was like a collectible store, and they had a ton of stuff, but I don't think I might have bought a couple Little Mermaid things there that day. But this last time, we went into this amazing comic book shop, which was really cool.
Didn't Brandon tell us about it? Like, how did we know about it?
Not this one. We saw this one. Or we found it.
We went to like a Walmart or something, didn't we? And
yes.
We saw it.
We saw it.
Yeah,
and we were like, ooh, let's go there.
Yeah.
And we went in there, and it was so nice to be able to go in there. And Carrie goes, just get a couple things you want. It's fine. And I was like,
well, we were on vacation.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
That was where you found the Muppets
stuff. I did. I found the Muppets stuff.
Which we never see.
Mm-mm. That was the store I found.
That was kind of like a... It's kind of like a resale store, kind of, wasn't it?
It was a comic book store, but they had a lot of loose toys. They had a lot of stuff that they'd taken in on trade and whatnot. Right. And they had a lot of new toys, you know. But, you know, I also found a Starscream from the Transformers movies that I wanted. And I was like, ooh, he's $20. Let's get him. I found a Back to the Future animation cell there that I was like, ooh, let's get that. Because they had a whole wall of animation cells. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's something you don't see every day at a comic book store. That was kind of cool, though. That was the first time you had seen the box for the 2011 San Diego Comic-Con Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, what is that? And I'm like, well, that's this. And it was in a case. And you were like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah. Imagine trying to get that home on a plane. You would have had to check that as another bag and paid $50 to get it home. It was pretty ginormous. But, you know, it seems a lot of times our vacations revolve around go, go, go. And me going, we need to find a toy store really bad.
Well, God forbid you go a week.
I know. Well, now it's become, is there an antique store somewhere around here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's become that. It's like, let's go find an antique store. Let's go look around. Because it's always nice to see that and see other stores. So, you know, see what other stores have. It's always a new experience for us every time we get to go in a new antique store and look around. I mean, look at the stuff we found on the way to the 127 a couple weeks ago. We stopped at three antique malls, and we bought stuff in every one of those antique malls. Four, actually, all together. Which brings us to, you and I watched Collection Intervention this past week, and we watched Jordan Himbrough's Toy Hunter, both episodes of that. And a lot of people have left stuff, left conversations about Collection Intervention. Just basically talking about how, you know, what's the word I can use for here? very interesting conversations about how they see Toy Intervention as this very strange show that paints all of us as collectors as morons, basically, as... not morons. I'm trying to get to the question thread here for Dave and Duvall's, but I want to read you. Somebody asked us a question for the show this week about it, and one of the new guys around, Brad Bain, who welcomed to the site, had something to say about Elise, who hosts it. And Elise LeRae has been on PBS's excellent History Detectives for all of its 10 seasons and is an expert art historian and appraiser, which they kind of talk about at the start of the show, but they never really go into it. He says, I haven't watched Collection Intervention and don't plan to, but I suppose she applies some sort of psychological bent to her intervening, hence the name of the show, and she's no expert at that or anywhere in that field. And Brad would be completely fucking correct. We watched the show. I'm not going to defend Collection Intervention. I will watch it every week, and I will give it the ratings, and people are probably going to hate me for that. But the reason I want to watch the show is because I want to see other people's collections.
Right.
I want to see what other people are collecting and what is in their collections. Right. I want to see what other people's collections look like.
Right.
I'm that infatuated by looking at other people's stuff and going, "What? How do they display it? What do they do?" What gets me about that show is that the first gal, the Star Wars gal that was on there, she... what can I say about her?
Well,
why don't you say what?
I think I paused the show when we were watching it because we had taped it like 7 times and looked at you and like had comments. I was like, this is nuts. I'm like, first I said, they're not intervening. They're not, unless they're doing some stuff off camera that we don't see, other than she sat down with her like on the couch at one point and was talking to her about like, why do you love this stuff so much?
Right.
That's about all it was. And I'm like, okay, how is that going to keep her from not going out and using the money that she just won off that auction and buying more Star Wars stuff?
Exactly.
If it's really supposed to be an intervention, she needs to get to the heart of why the people are doing this.
Right.
And I didn't see that.
I didn't either.
And the Catwoman guy, I don't think she ever really talked to him about that other than he just said that he's always loved Catwoman. I think that's about all it was. Like, they never got down to, like, the heart of it.
The thing with the Star Wars chick was that
Oh, don't get me started on her.
I understand having a strong connection to certain toys.
No, you don't.
Yeah. There are certain things downstairs I would not sell. But you know me as probably better than anyone in the world that there has been many occasions and many times where I have sold a lot of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially, you know, you look back on the toy store. I sold 70% of my toy collection when I opened that store. Stuff that I've never gone back out to try to reclaim because it's like, what's the point?
Right.
You know, I don't have that much attachment to it. It was right. cool. But there's other stuff that I could be finding and not have to worry right. about going out and find this stuff. She did not want to let any of it go. She had such a strong emotional attachment to every everything. Piece.
Uh-huh. And, like, my thing was, she said that she was, and I'm paraphrasing, like, that she was alone a lot as a kid.
Right. She didn't and have, basically she was saying, I didn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah. So she kept calling the toys her friends.
Right.
Okay, I understand. You were a kid. You were alone. You played with the toys a lot.
Yeah.
You're not alone anymore. You're married.
You have a husband who enjoys your hobby as well.
Yes, and he loves you, and he's trying to help you. Why do you still think you need these toys?
Right.
That's what I did. And again, that was the whole she's not intervening thing.
Right. Like, she never got to the heart of that situation is why.
And why do you want these toys around you that remind you of how lonely you were when you were a kid?
Right. That is a very strange.
I mean, I know I understood she says the toys made her happy, but still, you have to remember. I didn't have any friends when I was a kid.
Right.
I just kept shaking my head at her. I was like, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, my high school years were not great, as many people's weren't. You know, I went to a big high school. I was not, you know, back then when I was younger, when I was a baby, they had me on a lot of medication. And the side effects of the medication they put me on erased the enamel from my teeth. So as I got older, my teeth got yellow. And I cannot tell you how many years I got called butter teeth and got made fun of because my teeth were yellow. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, and I think people have noticed it on the video. I have a lazy, on a lot of the videos I do, reviews, somebody back in the old That New Toy Small days asked if I'd had a stroke.
You talk out on one side of your mouth?
I have a partially lazy face. And that sounds funny, but I have a lazy eye, and that side of my face doesn't. I don't know if it's more side effects of the medicine. I've never really cared that much, but yeah, I basically talk out of, you know, almost one side. I mean, that's why I'm so animated when I talk, because I'm talking out of one side of my mouth, and I try to make a more conscious effort when I'm on camera to remember I got to keep, you know, one eye a little more open than the other so it looks normal. If you've ever seen my senior picture, which I don't know if you ever will, but Carrie's seen it, I look like Sloth from the Goonies, basically. Because I wasn't comfortable. They wanted me to smile. I didn't want to smile because my teeth were yellow. I mean, it's a horrible senior picture. It's god-awful. You know, you look at it and go, I can see why Duvall was made fun of when he was a kid. Dear Lord. So, you know, by all means, the stuff that made me unhappy about my high school years, there's stuff that I enjoy, like my years of vocational for the film and TV. You know, I have lots of friends from those still that I still talk to on a semi-regular basis. Mm-hmm. That I will love all the experiences from that for the rest of my life. But when it comes to the basic high school thing, you could look around this house and not see anything from my high school. My diploma isn't out. My cap and gown is put up. My senior picture is in our closet. Not in our bedroom closet, in our hall closet.
Mm-hmm.
My senior picture, I will not hang in this house. And my yearbooks, I have now put up in our closet. They used to be in my bookcase. I was like, I need more room for kids' books. These are going bye-bye. And went up in our closet. I'm like, I don't want
right.
I don't want that stuff around me. Which is a perfect example of you saying, you get why she loves those toys so much, but it reminds her so much of why she was lonely. You would think that she...
Well, and why does she need so many?
That's the other... Well, at one point, they didn't even know what they had.
Well, the other guy was the same way.
The Catwoman guy. Yeah.
But like... Why do you have to have 2,000 toys? Like, why can't you just have 5? Like, why can't she just be happy with 5 of them? You know what I mean?
Right.
Again, this is all goes back to the first episode when I kept saying, I don't get it. Because I don't get it.
Right.
I do not get the... I just don't have emotional attachments to things.
Well, you have emotional attachments to the animals.
But they're living.
Fair
they
enough.
They breathe.
Fair
they
enough.
Don't sit on a shelf.
True. Well...
You know, but it's true. I don't have... that's why I don't get it. I don't have emotional... I don't need... stuff around me to remind me of, like, happy things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I was going to say, one of them sits on a shelf quite a bit, and she's usually asleep on that shelf.
Well, that's the cat.
So, that you just lied.
Anyways.
I know, and I know you don't understand it. You've kind of come to terms with some of it. I think you kind of get some of it, but then when we see stuff like that, you're like, I don't understand, because you know, I'm not nearly anywhere near that bad.
Well, and okay, and I'm going to get to that, too, because okay. You kept, okay. During the whole show, I don't know how many times you looked at me and you were like, I'm not that bad.
That's true.
Or at least I don't do that. And I'd be like, just don't even do that. Don't even go there.
That's true. But I fully believe I'm not. I mean, I'm not.
No, because every room of their house was full of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Literally, that's all that their house was. Yes. Star Wars. Which I was like, oh. And I'll give them this. It looked nice.
Yeah, it was clean.
It was somewhat all organized. On shelves. It looked okay. But every room, and again, why does she need all of that?
Right, exactly.
I get that the toys made you happy when you were a kid, but why do you need 2,000 of them or however many? Why do you have to have so many?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Why can't you just have one room of it?
I don't know.
And then the Catwoman guy. He made me so angry because...
Here's the problem with the Catwoman guy. His wife did not like the collection. She didn't understand it.
How dare her?
I know. Well, but the difference between her and you is, even though you don't get it, you...
She didn't like it because he was not paying bills.
That's true. That's the main reason. Okay,
that's
He was buying Catwoman toys before they were paying the mortgage. So.
And they were in debt.
Yes.
Right. Okay, that's a big no-no.
Yeah, you don't do that shit. That's...
But, like, he was pulling stuff out of boxes and he'd be like, oh, I have two of those. I didn't even know I had that.
Yeah. Or he was pulling stuff out and... He was pulling it out and going, well, why is this broke? Well, because it's in a box in Southern California in your garage.
Yeah.
And the heat is going to destroy everything in there.
He didn't take care of it.
No.
That pissed me off because, like, you say this character is so important to you, and then you just throw the shit in a box.
Right.
Like, you obviously don't care about it that much. You didn't even know you had it, and you went and bought another one.
Yep. That was what got me the most, was it's like, and I don't think so much it was like,
well, and then he couldn't understand why he wasn't getting as much money for it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, dude, the box is beat up.
Yeah. Like, they took in all the Bionic... He had a bunch of Bionic Woman and Bionic Man stuff to a comic shop. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know... The owner obviously was like, you know, the stuff's beat up. You know, we know just as well as anyone else that condition is, mm-hmm. you know... Condition is the key when it comes to toys, whether they're loose or in a box. And... This guy was upset that the owner was only going to offer him what he thought was a paltry amount for the amount of stuff that was there. And he was trying to tell the guy, well, you know, I saw this on blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, well, but it's not in great shape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm offering. I mean, he eventually took it, I don't think with any sort of major haggling, but he eventually took the amount.
Mm-hmm.
It was the other thing is you get people like that who think they've, you know, they know what they've spent on it and think they can get 5 or 10 times that out of
right.
it. And it's like, dude, no.
Right.
You know, you've thrown it in a box with 15 other things. It's been crushed, destroyed. You might as well just take it out and sell it loose because no one's going to buy it mm-hmm. that way. And then we watched later in the week Toy Hunter, which Jordan Himbrough, who is a friend of mine and a friend of the show. So I'm sure people are going to hear this conversation and think it's very biased. I don't care. Jordan is a good friend, and, you know, I've known him for almost a year now, and we've talked on very, very many occasions about many different things, and, you know, back when the premiere came, he called me up and said, you know, you've got to help me get the word out for the show, please, please, please. He's like, you know, I really want to continue to do this show, and if you talk to the man, you can hear the complete passion he has. Mm-hmm. Not so much for people are going to be like, well, he has passion to go out and make a buck. Well, it's not that.
No, he's like you. Toys. He wants to go look at people's stuff.
He wants to see people's stuff.
Yes.
And the fact that he deals in toys is just a sidebar to him. Like, he wants to see people's collections. Mm-hmm. And these two shows, the pilot episode had issues to where there was a lot of negativity. People thought that he was lowballing people. You know, they thought he was just doing the normal dealer thing, not offering them anywhere near what it's worth while he could still make a profit. You know, he was just trying to make profit. And these two episodes were so much better. Like, they improved on so many things. He actually, you know, whereas the pilot episode, he was going to sculptors from Kenner's homes and stuff like that, people who'd worked for Kenner, comic book shop looking for stuff. This, he actually went to normal people's houses. And when he would find something he'd want, you know, he went to another dealer's place and bought a bunch of stuff from another dealer. And the first thing out of his mouth, he found a Happy Days Color Forms. I think it was Happy Days. I know it was a Color Forms set. Might not have been Happy Days, but it was a Color Forms set. And he was like,
Mork and Mindy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Mork and Mindy. He's like, what do you need today to let this go? And the dealer was like, $5. And Jordan's like, done. He wasn't throwing the numbers out. He was having them give him the numbers.
Right.
And there were a number of occasions where he would haggle with them on that number, which, not a whole lot. There was one case where he went to some lady's newly opened consignment shop antique store and was in the back looking through a box of, you know, what we do, digging through a box of McDonald's toys,
mm-hmm.
and found one of the Ringwraith figures from the Lord of the Rings animated series that was brought out by Knickerbocker, which is one of the rarest action figure lines all time. And he found, you know, it wasn't complete, but it was in really good shape and in a plastic bag. And he's like, what would you need for this today? And she's like, I don't know, $3. And he's like, you know what? So I can sleep tonight,
yeah.
I'll give you 40. And then he told her what it was and how much it would have been worth. He's like, if this would have been in the box, I would be paying you thousands for this right now. And she's like, really? $40 for that? And he goes, yes, absolutely. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think...
He could have been like an ass and been right. Like, oh, $3, here you go, you know.
Right, exactly. I enjoyed Toy Hunter. I think I enjoyed the pilot, and yes, there were issues with it. There were some issues with him talking about, I think it was Mask, talking about how Mask predated Transformers and all that when it wasn't true. You know, there were some things that were said that could have been cut out. These episodes really didn't have any issues in it that I saw. They did some stuff for dramatic effect, like he pulled a Transformers Bumble Jumper out of a box, which was the little weird Transformer that you were like, what is that? And I was like, huh?
Are you supposed to be telling people that?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, and it was like, he pulled it out, and I was like, oh, that's a Bumble Jumper. And I called it, and I was like, yes! Like, that's awesome. But I was watching it going, that was probably done for dramatic effect, but it was still kind of neat to see, you know, him pull, you know, pull a Bumble Jumper out of a box like that. And it's like, that's pretty cool, because you don't see a lot of those. I really like the show. I think Collection Intervention will maybe last this season and then maybe go away. I don't see it continuing on because it's just too stereotypical of certain aspects of collectors. You know, it gives non-collectors, starts making them think we have issues, we have problems. And some of us probably do have some issues and problems. But...
No, but there's a reason that you're collecting the stuff.
Right.
So,
exactly.
I mean...
Toy Hunter, though, I'm, you know, I know he's been on the road for a few months. I talked to him the other night after watching the show, and he was getting ready to leave until October again, back out on the road to do stuff. I think they've improved on that show. I think it's a much...
I don't know where they find these people.
Because a lot of times
the lady,
they put...
the house where he found that bumble jumper thing...
Yes.
That house was nuts.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was like a trailer that they kept building onto. And I was like, I looked at you and I'm like, how do people live like that?
I don't know.
The place was a mess.
It was a mess, but, you know, he found stuff at every turn. I mean, you know, that was another place that was stuffed full of stuff.
Oh, and remember the guy in the attic? We were looking and we were like, he's got Wuzzles.
Yes, exactly. We were like, well, he's got Wuzzles. Because that guy was showing off his collection. I'm like, look, he's got Rainbow Bright and Wuzzles.
Yeah.
Like, thank God there's someone else out there like me.
Yeah.
Like, dear Lord. Except his wife was probably like, all your shit's got to go in the attic. I don't want to see it. I don't want it anywhere near here. Because it's like, man, all that stuff's in the attic. Like, that really
Well, they
sucks.
Probably didn't have a basement.
Yeah.
Or something, so...
Probably not.
Especially if they were in California. I don't know. Well, no, he wasn't.
No.
He was in... He was in Jersey or somewhere.
I don't know. It was very, you know... We had kind of talked about the possibility of those shows creating an opinion amongst people who don't collect, who find this stuff, suddenly thinking they're sitting on a gold mine. I think Collection Intervention would do that more than Toy Hunter... Because at least Toy Hunter, he would tell you what the stuff's really worth, for the most part. You know, and, you know, he gives you an idea of not everything is gold. You know, not everything's a piece of gold. I mean, he was paying pennies on the dollar for some of this stuff, and when he said what he sold it for, it was a small profit in the most part.
Yeah, it really wasn't anything that was like a crazy price difference. You know, like he'd buy something for 40 and sell it for 60.
Right.
It wasn't like a huge markup or anything like that.
No,
so.
And he, you know, Jordan's got a heart because he really, really does love toys. I mean, he loves toys. Trust me, like I said, I've talked to him, and yes, this whole conversation, like I said, is going to sound biased because I know Jordan. The man really, really, really does love toys. I mean, he's a collector. I know he has a collection.
What does he have?
He collects everything just like all the rest of us do. But
well, I liked these episodes of Toy Hunter better because it seemed like the pilot was mostly him trying to get stuff for Comic-Con, so it was mostly comic type things.
Right.
Whereas this, he bought stuff that wasn't.
Exactly.
It was more like related to stuff that you would buy.
Right.
So I liked that because it wasn't just like Batman stuff or, you know what I mean?
It was a lot of different stuff.
Yeah,
very, very
cool.
Yeah,
a variety of stuff.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I know they got an order for like 16 episodes or something like that. Something crazy like that. So I'm really, really looking forward to the rest of the season and seeing where else he goes.
Our house. Come to our house.
I've been trying to get him to come to Springfield.
Okay, what would you do if he came here and tried to buy some of your Brave Star stuff?
And not so much that. I've been trying to get him to come to Illinois for the Kane County Toy Show.
Oh.
Because I think that would be a very interesting episode for them. It wouldn't be a normal episode. He'd be dealing with other dealers. He'd be looking for, you know, diamonds in the rough in a toy show where I always find stuff at that toy show for decent prices, you know. So... plus there's places to stop on the way there. I mean, there's a way they could make an episode of it, but,
yeah, but it sounds like he's trying to go to people's homes, not doing the whole, show thing.
Yeah, he is for the most part. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see another Comic-Con episode because he lives in, you know, he's from Jersey. New York Comic-Con's right around the corner. They'll be doing that. You know, he sets up that every year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, they come across that again. But yeah, it seems like he's more doing the normal, like, American Pickers for Toys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, he was. He was, like, crawling through people's stuff and digging through boxes. And
to me, that's exciting, because I want to see what he finds.
I know.
I want to be like, what's
he
going to find?
You want to do it.
I do. Very much so do I want to do something like that, because that is amazing. I mean, we've tried to kind of get into buying and selling toys, but it hasn't worked out for us. And any time we do it, which kind of sucks because we don't really have the extra income
and we're trying to sell on eBay. And he sounds like, does he have like a store?
I don't think he has a retail front.
Well, maybe we need to. If we ever did get into that, we would need to go to like toy shows because eBay has not been working out for us.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't think he has a storefront.
Well, the chick was taking inventory for him somewhere. I don't think he has just like a warehouse of stuff.
He does have a warehouse. There's an online presence. And, you know, they have a corporate headquarters in New Jersey. But, you know, that he just sells the stuff online and he has buyers. So he doesn't have an actual online store or an actual storefront, so to speak, which is good for him because he just owns a warehouse and they run the warehouse out of their headquarters.
Right.
So it all works out for him, which is a smart way to go. Although, looking at the site, there's not a lot on his site right now. I liked the show, though. I thought it was, like I said, you know, I thought it was very good. I thought it was very entertaining and it was, you know, it was well done. You know, you can't say much more than that, really. People will like it. Some people will hate it.
Just like anything else.
Just like anything.
You know.
And like I said, I don't think those show... I think Collection Intervention is going to cause more of a stink in the toy community than Toy Hunter will. Because at least Toy Hunter was very, very... That show, to me, was sincere in his love for toys. Yes, I know people still have a problem with him being a dealer and doing it and all this other stuff, and that's fine. I get that. I'm not going to try to dissuade or change your opinion on that. But there's more sincerity in that than there was in Collection Intervention. But like I said, I'm still going to watch Collection Intervention because I want to see people shit. Toy Hunter to me is more fun because I get excited for what he's going to find. You know, the first couple episodes, he found some amazing stuff. he found the, you know, Return of the Jedi speeder bike ride on, which they were giveaways. You couldn't buy those. He found a lot of cool stuff that it's like, that's awesome. And I want to find that stuff. So that was just, you know, my thoughts on that. And I look forward to new episodes of it. I really do. Yes, you'll be watching them with me.
Yeah.
Every week we'll be watching Collection Intervention with it being paused.
I think next week is Hot Wheels and Barbies.
Barbie, yes.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels, I'm not so... The Barbie lady I'm interested in. That was the other thing in Toy Hunter was Jordan went into that antique mall and he found all these Barbies and here comes this guy and he's like, oh, what are you collecting? He's like, you know, he's like, there's this guy in his biker jacket and this guy was the one that was collecting Barbies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that's right. What? Guys can collect girl stuff too. Mm. Mm-hmm. There you go, gang. That brings us to the end of another episode of Married to the Collection. No questions this week. We haven't had questions in a couple months. I know people are still listening. So if you're still listening and you have questions you want to ask Carrie about what it's like being married to me or, you know, you want to ask her opinion of something in the collecting world, by all means, go to toyworldorder.com. Go to the forums section. If you haven't signed up, it's absolutely free. Leave a question there. There's a Married to the Collection thread. There's an official questions thread inside the thread. Leave your question there for us, and we'll answer them every week on the show. If you listen to this on iTunes, be sure to. If you don't, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating. Rate the show on iTunes. Make sure other people hear your voice, and iTunes hears your voice. Helps the show out a lot. Kind of gets us a little bit more eyes on the show. So that's always a plus. So there you go, gang. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll be back next week. And until next time, gang. See you later.